Hello and welcome to StrungeCast episode 52.
For example.
Yes, just that. More later. But before we do that, how have you been? How are you?
I'm good. We get to see our Jake today.
Yes.
He's been away since Monday in Barcelona.
And he saw the cruise ship.
He saw the cruise ship that we went on, yeah, in the distance. He was in a park quite high up, actually, looking down over the sea and saw the cruise ship. And we know it's definitely the right one because it's the right day.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday was the day that we were in Barcelona, and that was the day he saw it. So he's been having a brilliant time.
Yeah, definitely.
With all of his, well, a bunch of his close friends and some teachers, and doing some sightseeing, eating Spanish food, going in the sea.
I am actually jealous.
Yeah.
Because when we were there, we had a fantastic
such a good time, didn't we, in Barcelona?
Yeah.
I think we definitely want to go there as like a separate trip.
We could go as a family, yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I want to go back to that restaurant as well, because I really enjoyed
that. That was really nice, yeah.
And even you guys, the girls, I should say.
Yeah, no, we had a lovely meal
enjoyed
too.
Enjoyed yourselves.
So we get to see him tonight. He's back late afternoon. Yeah, early evening, late evening, something.
And he mentioned that on the first day that he was hotspot man because all of his friends didn't have roaming. But being a techie family that we are, I made sure that he had roaming in the EU. Because that's me.
Yeah.
But they didn't ask me to check if they had everything, so we didn't have a European plug.
No, we didn't.
I would have done.
I know. It's I don't know. It just escaped us, and that's why we need you.
Well.
To remember such things.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been, like, I feel like the week's gone quite fast in a way.
It has.
Because he's not been here, and it's been, even with Alice at home, it still felt quieter.
It was very much quiet.
Because quite often he's online, isn't he, gaming and stuff. So he can be quite noisy when he's doing that. So, it's been quiet. And she won't admit it, but she definitely has missed him.
Of course she has.
I went upstairs to her room yesterday and she was sat on her bed. And I said, are you okay? Why are you in here with, like, no sound or anything? She said, oh, just lonely. I was like, you miss Jake. She was like, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. You miss him. She was like, no, I just miss the noise. So she definitely misses him.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Siblings, eh?
Yeah, they wind each other up, but, you know, they do genuinely miss each other. Yeah. And they've been, like, they talk more than any of us, like Snapchat and stuff like that. They have little messages.
I'm always surprised about that.
I know.
How they communicate sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes they just absolutely wind each other up. Something crazy. But
they're good for each other as well, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Funny. That's kind of been the week, really. Just waiting to hear from Jake and stuff. Yeah. What about your week?
Well, it was quite quiet, I think. I gave a little presentation to some teachers in a school slash, well, actually more of a college setting online, because they wanted to know how to train some new blind students on how best to use the Mac. So I screen shared my Mac and said, well, here's some 101 stuff. And I didn't realize that there were quite so many people in the room behind the scenes. So I was talking to like two or three people mainly. And at the end, they all clapped at me and there were like 20, 30 people. So I'm glad I didn't know that. But yeah, that's like the most exciting thing I've done this week.
But that's a really good thing. That's a really helpful thing for that school, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
But it was just a bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah.
But it was all right.
I understand.
Oh, man. So we did get some good answers for last week's quiz, didn't we?
Yeah. So the quiz question was, what was the color of a giraffe's tongue?
Such a weird one. I love it, though. I love how out of the blue it is.
I like these kind of things. You know I love the animal questions.
Yeah.
And everybody that commented did get it right. Some said blue, some said purple. It is a kind of bluish purple colour. Sometimes it can even look black, just depending on the angle that you're seeing it or the giraffe itself.
Maybe it's a holographic tongue.
Yeah. But it is a very dark tongue. Do you, because I just find this really interesting, do you have any idea why it would be dark like that?
No, I guess it's the juices in whatever they eat or something, I don't know.
Well, they eat a lot of vegetation, but it's actually the melanin, which protects their tongue from sunburn. Because obviously they're quite high up. They're, their tongues are really long. They come out to get all the leaves and things, and it protects their tongue. I thought that was really cool.
Imagine French kissing a giraffe. My God.
Funnily enough, I've never thought of that.
Well, now you can't unthink it.
No, I can't.
Have a nice day.
Thanks for that. Tara got that right. She said, some say dark blue, some say purple. You are correct.
Shout out, Tara.
And also Tingo Cardona said purple. And Benjamin Eldridge said blue. So you're all right. It's all those kind of colours.
Well, how cool.
Yeah. So this question is probably not going to make sense to most, if not everybody, that is listening.
It wouldn't have made sense to me.
It wouldn't have made sense.
And I found it.
So you might need to go and do a little bit of research and see if you can figure this one out. How long is a smoot?
Spelled?
S-M-O-O-T. Smoot. Yes. How long is a smoot?
And I'm sure Google, or whatever you use, did you mean smooth?
Yeah, no, probably.
Not in this case.
But yeah, I'll be really interested to see if anybody can find the answer to that one.
I saw that come up in a video and I had to send it to you immediately.
Yeah, and we thought this would be a really good...
Because it's so random.
Good one. So get your Googling on.
And I know, for example, that Ashlyn likes to answer the questions sometimes. I can't remember if she answered last week's one. Because she doesn't leave a comment on the YouTube. No, she sends it to me on WhatsApp.
Oh, I see. But so I wouldn't have seen it. Okay.
I'll be interested to know if she finds the answer to this one.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see.
So, for example.
Yes.
Good parenting and bad parenting. Rude parenting and
that
not
that is what we're talking
parenting.
About. Yes. Yeah. And sort of setting examples for our children.
And also living by example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we sort of came to the conclusion of talking about this today because this week I've been taking quite a few buses, as I normally do.
It's Kirsten's bus trip.
And this particular bus I was on a few days ago, he was driving quite fast down the road, I think. And I didn't exactly see what happened, but he pulled into the bus stop and there was a mum with her teenage son going to school. And she was obviously putting him on the bus, but she was really angry at the bus driver for whatever he had done. I don't know if it was about his speed or I'm not quite sure what it was, but she was shouting at him whilst everybody was getting on. And I couldn't hear what she was saying, but she was very angry and calling him. I could see she was swearing. And the son got on. The bus pulled away and she continued to shout abuse at him and stick her middle finger up all the way up the road, even as the bus turned the corner. So the bus driver wouldn't have been able to see her. She was still shouting and putting her middle finger up. And the next day I saw her again. Now she didn't shout at this bus driver, but she did have that very angry presence about her. And I just sort of felt a bit sorry for the son because he looked like quite a calm...
Chilled.
Yeah, chilled in comparison to the mum. And I just thought he just looked embarrassed by her. She was angry because that bus driver wasn't letting any more passengers on because, in case you don't know, we've had tube strikes, train strikes all week and the buses have just been absolutely overwhelmed, rammed.
Should have put more buses on the road.
They should have.
They would have made more money.
So she was annoyed that she hadn't been able to get her son on this bus. And so she was muttering under her breath and stuff. And he just looked, kind of a bit... Ugh.
Probably used
there
to it.
There she goes again. And so we were talking about it, weren't we? The swearing and putting her middle finger up and stuff like that. And saying, that was in front of her child as well.
Yeah.
And what an example that was to set for him. Which got us thinking about the example we set for our children.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I'd like to think is fairly good.
Well, I think so. I mean, we've talked about it in a previous episode about how we don't really swear. just certainly in general.
Not in public.
Never in public. But also, like, since we had the kids when they were babies and toddlers and all of that, we never ever swore in front of them.
No.
And I think, well, what do you think? What other things do you think we've done as parents to set an example for them?
Trying not to argue in front of them is a good one, because whatever grievances you have with each other,
yeah,
don't need to be taken out on your children and mm-hmm. for them to see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in that. I saw enough of that growing up, and I don't need to see or have my kids see it growing up.
Mm.
I will not.
Yeah, I do think, though, that there is a fine line between...
Yeah, you don't want to coddle them.
The arguments and also them learning and understanding that you have to sometimes have disagreements, conflict, whatever it might be, and that you can work through it and get through that.
Of course.
So I don't think we ever really did when they were little, but as they've got a bit older, we might have had like an annoyance between each other.
Yeah.
And called each other out on it. But we would never have like, well, we don't really have screaming matches or anything like that, but no, we would never have a full-blown argument about something in front of them. But they do need to learn that it's okay in a relationship to have that difference, and you know, not always agree on things, and that's okay. You work through that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't do the big arguments.
No, because I think it sets, well, a bad example. For example.
I just also think for children, it's very scary. It's very worrying when your parents, who you rely on so much, start to argue in that way, because you don't understand what's going on. They can't understand that, well, okay, they're having an argument, but they're going to figure it out and it's going to be fine.
Yeah,
they don't have that capability. It can be really traumatic. And they don't need to hear that stuff. They don't need to hear if you're arguing about, you know, something someone said that wasn't very nice, or money, or whatever it is. That's not for a child to hear. They don't need to have those worries, those concerns.
And money is the basis of a lot of arguments. And I don't mean our arguments,
right? No, but in general, it is.
It comes between a lot of people in a lot of different ways.
And actually, no, I do think that over the years, any of the big arguments that we've had have been about money in some way or another, whether it's, you know, we're worried we don't have enough and that causes tension, or, you know, whatever it might be, it is always a bit of a tricky
And it would spot, be nice to not have to think about it, but
it
we
would
do.
Be. Yeah. Okay, so that's the arguing in front of kids.
Yeah.
We try really hard not to do that, and I think we've stuck to that pretty well.
I think so.
We don't swear. In front of them.
No.
Now, that being said, they have grown up hearing a lot of swearing, but that would be from my dad.
Yeah.
Who we've talked about before. Who
it's part and parcel of his makeup.
It's part of him. And when the kids were younger, we tried really hard to change that in him. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And actually, now they've just grown up, it's just like, oh, that's just grandpa, you know.
It is what it is.
So yeah, we don't really sort of bother about that now.
No.
So what else? Drinking?
Oh, well, like, I'm not even that bothered about that, because we don't drink to excess.
No, we don't at all.
Like, when we were on the cruise ship, I had a glass of wine most nights, and that is the most I would have had in 2 months, or 1 month, in fact. So in 1 week, I had more than my usual intake. And that sounds like a massive lot when you say it like that. But context is key.
Yeah, you were on holiday.
I would have
a glass. You very, very rarely drink. We don't really ever buy alcohol at home because I don't drink.
No.
So the only times you ever drink is when you go out for a meal.
That's it.
Which is very rare. Or at a family occasion.
Oh yeah, Christmas.
You know, Christmas or Easter or whatever that might be.
That's kind of a lot, isn't it, really?
Yeah, there isn't really any other occasion.
Like, when I took Jake to the gig in April, they offered, you know, do you want to have, you have one, a free alcoholic drink at the gig? And it's like, no, I'll have orange juice. Like, just so that I wasn't drinking in front of him. And he wouldn't have cared, whatever. But I just thought I didn't need to do that at that time.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. And I think we are quite like, we're quite open with them about drinking. We don't need to go into specifics, but we do have some family members that do drink quite a bit. And so it's always been an open conversation and topic.
Yeah.
I feel like we've had.
Absolutely.
We're not super strict in the whole kind of, you will never touch alcohol until you're 18, or, you know, Jake has had the odd taste of a few things, which actually he thinks is disgusting. And even Alice, there's been the occasion where I've said to her, like, do you want to taste this? Like, because the only thing I ever drink is a glass of Prosecco at Christmas. You know, do you want to taste it? And she's like, oh, no.
The thing is, though, if you tell children not to do a thing,
mm-hmm.
they're going to want to do that more.
Absolutely. Which is why I have always said to them, look, I know you're probably going to do this, and that's fine, but you need to know how to do it safely. You know, if you're going to drink under 18, over 18, whatever it might be, but I think under 18, you need to be even more careful. But, you know, that's your choice. I can't stop you from doing that, but be safe and tell us. You know, you don't, they don't have to hide it. They can say.
That does not mean advocating for it. That just means be safe about it.
No, and
that's a different thing.
Yeah, and we've talked about, I specifically, I don't know whether you've had conversations on your own with them, you might not have needed to, but I have had many conversations with them. And not, this is not like, you know, sit down and tell them.
No, no.
It's just it in general, these things come up, you know, and we've talked about dangerous situations, the drinking, what can happen. And I feel like they're quite clued up on that.
Savvy, yeah.
Yeah, they know what drinking can do to you. And they're not really in any rush to be part of that.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
It's, what is it? Like a common British trait, if you will, that the young British teenagers and everything, all they do is drink. It's like a stereotype, isn't it?
Yeah, although people are saying now that Gen Z are becoming much, much more health conscious.
Mm-hmm.
That they're watching what they drink, they're watching what they eat, you know. They're much more aware of what's going into their bodies. So I wonder if that is a trend that is changing.
That's interesting.
Mm.
I had not known that.
Yeah, I've heard quite a lot about that recently.
You know, I used to think that our audience was just all us old people, but it's really not. I know that there are teenagers, there are 20-somethings that listen to us. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this whole topic. Mm. Like, do you like to drink? Do you drink? You have friends that probably do, but what are your thoughts about that? What are your thoughts on being healthy, eating well, exercise? You know, the usual stuff.
Yeah.
It sparks debate.
Yeah.
Very curious to know about that.
Yeah, definitely. So anything else that you can think of that we do?
I think we should return to the lady in the bus, because she sets a bad example.
Yeah.
And if he sees that as normal, he may do the same when he is older.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know him. We don't know what he's like. But from what you've said and just looking at him, he probably won't, based on how embarrassed he looked. But the possibility is that somebody could.
Yeah. I think it comes down to manners.
This is
like
a big, big thing.
Yeah. Everybody always says to us when they meet our children, or when we take them places, like when you've taken Jake out to gigs and stuff, when he used to go to our family hairdresser that, you know, my parents have known for like 30 plus years. And everyone has always said how polite our children are. You know, they communicate, they talk properly. They're not that kind of typical sullen teenager that people think of.
No.
You know, they're helpful. They're engaging in conversations and things. And I think that is partly because when we've been out in social situations, we've always tried to sort of encourage that being polite, having manners. You know, you don't need to be aggressive in how you speak to get what you want or to put your point across.
No.
You know, we're not like that. So I think they see that from us. Like, we are quite quiet people, I guess. Well, is that the wrong?
Peaceful people.
Peaceful, maybe.
I'm certainly not quiet.
But we're not. Well, I am more. But it's not that you're a loud person in that you walk into a room and everyone hears you, or, you know, have that booming voice or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
It's a, yeah, I think peaceful is a better word.
It's that kind of thing, I think, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And so if we pass those kind of things along and they grow up like that, then hopefully they will grow their own youths in the same way.
Yeah.
It's the plan anyway.
Just to have those kind of, I feel like they're basic expectations of being a good person.
Pleases and thank yous.
Yeah. Yeah.
They cost, I always say they cost nothing apart from a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And if you don't have time to even say that, then I don't really have time to communicate with you, to be honest.
Yeah.
What actually I wonder is, given the prevalence of smart speakers and AI and what have you, are we going to lose the ability to speak to humans nicely?
So this makes me think of a really funny video that I saw yesterday that was like a skit video, and it was the point of view of the friend who can only use AI to communicate.
Right.
So it was two friends meeting in the park, and the one person saying, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And the other person having to use the AI on his phone to generate an answer.
Right.
Because he couldn't.
Couldn't think for himself.
He couldn't process and think for himself. And it just gets progressively worse because, you know, the AI starts suggesting, "Oh, can I look up anything else for you? Or can I elaborate on this?" And he's saying it word for word. And it was really funny.
I should see that.
Yeah, if I can find it, I'll show it to you, because it was on TikTok and you don't have that
anymore. I can't
see
that anymore.
But yeah, so it is that kind of thing of, will we get to that point? I don't know.
I sincerely hope not.
I hope.
Because we as a species can do better than that.
We also are a species that need communication. Yeah. Like, it's...
Because, hello, communication is key. Thank you.
Yes, it is. Nicely done.
I know.
But, you know, you see those social experiments, or even just people who are very isolated and stuck at home, don't have any interaction really with other people, and the toll that it takes on their physical and mental health.
It's great.
Yeah.
And I use the word in the correct sense. Mm. It's a great toll and it's not a good toll.
Yeah.
And I, you know what, we saw that during lockdown.
Yeah, yeah.
When you could only communicate in person with your bubble.
Yeah.
Sure, there were those 40-minute Zoom calls, and boy, Zoom made a killing in those years.
Again, that's a screen, isn't it?
It's just a screen.
It's very different than having a physical interaction with someone.
I remember the first time I could see someone that wasn't you guys, which I know sounds terrible.
No,
but it was my brother, Dwayne, and I just hugged him for ages, and it was amazing. Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I feel like we've gone off on a tangent now.
But isn't that what we do in all episodes?
I know. But that could be, this could be a whole topic on its own.
Actually, it could.
The AI and how...
How do we communicate?
How that's being used. Yeah. We'll...
But you know what? We can tie it and segue back into, for example, because if you have to use AI to communicate for you, then you're not thinking for yourself. And therefore, you're actually not doing the communicating. Boom.
Which is a bad example to set.
See? I told you. We could bring it back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me, and I'm going to remember loads when I'm finished recording, but for now, top of my head, that's about my lot.
I think they're just the main ways, aren't they? We try and be good people. We try and help people when we can, be polite, be good
and encourage
members
them
society.
To help people.
Exactly. Like,
as a blind parent, I've always said to the kids, if you see someone struggling, please help them, because people have helped me all of my life.
Yeah.
When I get out of a car, go to a train station, get lost, there's always, always been somebody.
But even those like tiny little things, like when you see someone struggling to get on and off a bus with their
buggy,
buggy or whatever it is, offering to help in those situations, or just anything like that. I've never specifically said to the kids, oh, you should do this. But I hope that by seeing me do things like that, that they realize that's how we should behave. That's what we should do.
You did remind me of this, actually. My mum saw a lady struggling with a big buggy and shopping. Mm-hmm. And she said, stand right here, don't move. And she disappeared very quickly. And then she came back and said, I just helped a lady get onto the bus with her big bags and
because
shopping.
Because no one else was
helping. No one else was doing it.
Yeah.
And so she explained to me why she went away and where mm-hmm. she was going. And that just stuck with me. I was like, she sees that and she's got her own, well, I didn't know that at the time. I was 6 or 7. Problems to deal with. But looking back, she always did that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Always, always.
And that's the example that she set for you, to be helpful when you can.
Absolutely. Give up your seat on the bus or train if you are able as well.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
For example.
It's the karma.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something, whether you're religious or not, spiritual certainly, karma mm-hmm. will get you.
Yeah.
I do believe that.
Yeah, because even when you're not necessarily talking about physical things that you've done, when you put out negative energy, that is what you get back, because that's how you're perceiving everything. Whereas when you have a much more positive outlook, everything that's coming, even if something bad happens, you can say, okay, well, that happened, but you know, maybe that person was rude to me because they're having a bad day. Or, you know, maybe, I don't know, I fell over then because I was meant to fall over then and not down the road where I would have hurt myself a lot more. I don't know. I think sometimes just trying to have that more positive look on things just allows you to let the positive in.
That's it. And you know, my dad would call the lady on the bus, as a musician himself, you'd say she had off-key energy.
And I like that.
And for years, that's how I thought about it. And for 2 days in a row, she had off-key energy.
Very much.
Didn't need to.
She did.
Whatever her problem was, did not need to be put out into the world.
Mm. No, I totally agree with you.
The first time he said that, I was like, what do you mean? And he explained it. I got it. It was like, I was very young.
No, I really like that. I think that makes a lot of sense. There are quite often people around that have off-key energy.
See?
That is definitely one that is going to stick with me.
Stick with you, yeah. Feel free to take that.
Just, I mean, this is slightly different, but I've been sort of trying to work on Alice at the moment. She's gone back to school and she's just finding it a little bit challenging. You know, she's got a lot of new teachers. It's settling back into the routine. And, you know, she does also suffer with anxiety like I do. Not the same level, but it is there. And also she's a teenage, almost teenager. So there's hormones and everything.
There's only weeks to go. My gosh, what is happening?
I know. and I've been trying to, I guess, set an example with her of trying to be more positive. So we keep talking about, I call her my positive penguin.
I love that.
Because we started off with positive potato, but she didn't like that. So we went through all the peas and we've ended up with positive penguin. And it was just her telling me at the end of the day, all the things that she didn't like, and us trying to turn them around. So the other day, she said in the morning, she didn't like how her hair had turned out. It was frizzy. And she didn't like her face because her makeup or her cream hadn't sat properly. So we started with that. And I said, okay, let's have a backup hairstyle. So when you try that hairstyle and it doesn't work out, you've got something else that you can do that you're going to feel better and more confident with. Today, that exact thing happened. We spent ages. I even helped her with this hairstyle, but she just wasn't feeling it. And I could tell. And she came downstairs later and she changed her hair and her whole demeanor had changed. Mm. She was happy. But that's because we'd had that conversation about being more positive. We then talked about her face. Okay, well, these two creams don't mix. Let's not use them at the same time. Use that one, you know, in the morning, that one in the evening. Again, now she's doing that. That's one less thing. And then talking through her lessons and just trying to say, okay, that was a negative, but what was positive about that lesson? And trying to focus more on that. And I feel like that's really, really helping her.
Sneak preview then. This goes into discussing confidence.
It does. Yes.
Why do I say sneak preview?
Because that is a future episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it is just being a positive penguin.
I really, really love that.
Yeah.
I do. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I hope everyone else adopts that. So you've got two things to take away from this episode. Off-key energy. You don't need to be around anybody that's giving you those kind of vibes.
No.
And be a positive penguin.
Exactly.
You got this.
Yeah.
All right. I love that. What a wonderful way to end. Well, near the end. Give us a story.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going for another animal one because we know I love the animals. This is about a blind pigeon called Kevin.
Well, that's fitting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does he have a cane? Or a guide?
I would love that.
It'd be like a guide sparrow.
Guide sparrow. So this was earlier this month that police in Texas reunited a man with his blind pigeon after the pet bird hitched a ride in the bed of a pickup truck at the owner's business. So this guy, Luis Valdez, owns an auto service, and the pet pigeon Kevin, who is well known to the customers, had somehow managed to make his way into the truck of a customer.
What?
And because he's blind and he's unable to fly, he wasn't able to come back.
No.
So the guy, Valdez, adopted him after finding the featherless bird when he'd been kicked out of the mother's nest. So he was obviously a very small. Yeah, maybe because he was blind. You know, it's all survival of the fittest.
Honestly, pigeons, even pigeons discriminate.
Yeah. So they realized that there was, you know, one particular van that had just left, and they went and checked it out. The owner of the truck allowed them to have a look, and police found Kevin safely in the bed of the truck.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And so he was returned back home, and I think he's a bit of a star in the shop. Everybody goes to see Kevin the blind pigeon. So yeah.
If you're in Texas, send us a picture.
Yeah, go see Kevin. I actually can't find a picture. There might be a little video, but I don't want to play that because it might be really loud.
But if you're in the area, maybe you can go in and send us a little souvenir.
Yeah, please do.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. I think it's in Irving.
Oh, okay.
If that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know some people that live there.
L&R Auto Service. There you go.
Left and right.
Go nice. And see Kevin.
Cuckooing Kevin.
Tell him he made it onto a podcast.
Yeah, he did. That's great, actually. Well, there we are. We have come to the end of another episode, and we thank you very much for listening. As always, YouTube members are hearing this one day earlier. So if you want to hear it one day earlier, please consider becoming a member. That is the only sponsor we have. We don't do ads. We don't do, I don't even know what the other stuff is, but we don't do that, do we?
No.
So we just have to word of mouth it. And we'd love you to do the same. If you like what you hear, give us a shout out and like and subscribe. Oh my God, I hate saying that. Right, I'm done. That's it.
And follow. It's follow.
Yeah, do that too.
Yeah.
Do that too.
There you go.
I think I introduced us to somebody new yesterday. We'll see if she listens. But we'll see. Right, I'm out.
Bye.
Próxima estación.
Ciutadella, Vila Olímpica.
Allá es Amitrampo.